said about Pentecost, and today is Pentecost. And if you know the story at all, Pentecost is all about the day that Peter stood up in the city of Jerusalem and gave this magnificent, powerful speech, and so many people came to the Lord. The background on that is this is so many days after the resurrection, and the city is still full because people came from all over the Roman world anyway to Jerusalem for Passover, and many, many people stayed, so the city was packed. And Peter gets up and gives this magnificent, powerful speech. So on the day of Pentecost, that's normally what we talk about, and we will. Pentecost is the day the church celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit on Christ's people and the disciples after his ascension into heaven. Emboldened with the gift of God, Peter preached to the crowds, and 3,000 people came to the Lord that day and was baptized. Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. The church's primary task then, following Peter, of course, then, is to go out into the streets and preach the gospel to people who are not already saved. You see, we would be following the steps of Peter. And yet, as powerful that is, there's a story behind it that we're going to talk about today. Now, Peter is really in people's face on that day. He's telling them about their sins, and they've got to do something about it, and they're lost without Christ. You know, maybe he should just stay positive and talk about how much Jesus loves them. Except that you can't understand the gospel without understanding sin. Salvation is from our sins. Salvation, you are being saved from something. So there is a necessity to let people know about sins and their fallen nature, and that's what Peter did. That's what the gospel is about, though, is salvation from those sins. So every year at this time, we expect to hear a passionate sermon about the amazing, powerful speech delivered by the famous apostle. You might say, well, I'm no Peter, and that may be true. Yet the reality is we're all called to some version of what Peter did at Pentecost. We ordinary people. Take, for instance, Andrew. Andrew's an interesting guy. You know, he doesn't get a lot of press in scriptures, if you think about it. We don't know very much about Andrew. His brother Peter gets most of the attention, but we ought to know him. We ought to know him. We see people like Peter only occasionally in our lifetimes. How many powerful, emotional, impactful preachers have you listened to in your lifetime? How many Billy Grahams have you heard preach? Not that many that have that kind of power. So we only see those kind of people once in a while. But we see people like Andrew every day. Every church, every school, every organization may have leaders, but behind the scenes are those who do most of the work, and they never get any credit. Pentecost may seem to be all about Peter, but what's the rest of the story? How did Peter come to be in this position? Let's see where we first find Andrew. We're going to go to the Gospel of John. And if you have your Bibles, turn to the first chapter of John. We're going to go towards the end, verses 35 through 42. Just a little context here. Before we really hear anything about Jesus, we hear about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is out in the desert. When we went to, Tim and Kelly and I went to Jerusalem, you actually go to the River Jordan where John was baptizing people out in the desert. And people are coming out to hear what he has to say. And Jesus really hasn't become the main player in the gospel yet. So out in the desert, we hear about this man, Andrew. Let's go to the text. Father, as we go to your text, we pray over the word. We pray that as we read your word, that we will find the nuggets that we may have missed over the years. We pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word that you would have us receive. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 1, verses starting at verse 35, remember where we are. We're out in the desert, and Andrew has been out there with him. And verse 35 says this: "The next day again, John was standing with the two of his disciples." This is John the Baptist. "And he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' Now the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus." Now, at this point, we're talking about two people who were disciples of John. Do you get it? These two guys, we're going to find out who they are in just a minute, are disciples of John. They're in the desert listening to his preaching about repentance. And John, whom they are a disciple of, meaning follower, student, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In one of the other Gospels, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Let me pause right there. Andrew, one of the two disciples of John in the desert, spends time with Jesus, and his first thought is to go get his brother, and he says,